Welcome back, Dennison Callahan. This guy's been bothering us for a couple of months now, trying to get on our radio show. So I guess we finally relented today, since nothing was happening last night. The quarterback of the New England Patriots, Tom Brady. Morning, Tom. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
What's the matter? Beckham busy today? You calling us?
You guys wore me down. So Casey finally called me enough times to. So I said, I'll call.
Hey, can we list you as probable this morning with your right shoulder?
Pretty much.
How you feeling?
Pretty much. I feel, you know, after a few months off, I'm feeling great. You know, I think over the years you find different ways to train and you know, get work on your body and so forth. And I'm feeling really good and excited. You know, I every day that goes by, so one day closer to football season. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Tom, can you talk about the process of reconciling your new life as a father and a husband with your old life as just a football player? And should anybody, fans, teammates, coaches, ownership, be concerned that you're probably not going to win the parking spot this year?
Yeah, well, it's kind of there's a lot to that question. You know, I mean, it's something that's tough for me, because I, you know, a part of being a great player and quarterback and leader is, you know, participating. And, you know, there's obviously a bit of a conflict when I'm not able to be here. I once was, you know, which was here every, you know, pretty much for every workout. And now I'm here for, you know, significantly less than that. But, like I said, it's, you know, I have a son that lives out in L.A., and I think it's, so, you know, I don't think I'll regret spending the time with him. And, you know, he was born in August of 2007, and I really didn't get to see him much for, you know, the first 6 months of his life. So, you know, there's some months there in the off-season that are, you know, really important time for me, especially. You're not going to remember much of it, but, you know, I sure will, you know, I'm still doing what I need to do to be ready. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I'm not here. It's not that I'm not here working out or working out, period. I'm still working out and preparing and, you know, always in contact with my coaches and teammates and so forth. And then I do come back and, you know, work on, you know, throwing the football with those guys and working out with those guys as, you know, whenever I can get back to it. It's not as easy as an hour flight, you know. I mean, it's, you know, going from the West Coast, you know, to the East Coast, you know, I've tried to do it. So, you know, you can really work out well in both places. It's hard to do that every week, because mm-hmm. you'd wear yourself down in the off season, which is obviously not what you're not trying to do. So
I was going to ask, is it difficult? I mean, it was easy before. You drove to the stadium, worked out. Now in your new life, traveling everywhere, you're in Costa Rica. When you're on the Champs de Lazay, do you find the right gym, the right equipment? Do you have difficult time getting the work in that you need to get in?
Well, you know what? It's the times that even this off season, you know, my wife has had to work in, whether it was, you know, Brazil, where she worked for 2 weeks, or for Paris. It's actually pretty nice, because I have the whole day to myself. So, yeah. You know, I'm working out for, like, you know, two, sometimes three times a day, you know, just because I've never minded working out. I think I've, thank God for that, because it's so, you know, that's what we do as athletes. So, you know, when she's working all day, it actually gives me a lot of time to do exactly what I need. And you know, I always find that whenever I travel, I do work out. You know, I do whatever I need to do. And there's, you know, there's always something for me. There's plenty for me to do, and I'm always finding ways to do it.
What, do you grab some waiter out of the local cafe to throw with, or is that?
Well, not as much throwing. That's that's the one thing when you travel that you can't do much of, because, you know, these little French guys, I don't think they know what the hell football is, so throw one of their hands.
Yeah, but they all look like Welker, and we hear you were throwing to Welker. Can you give us his status? I mean, he wasn't running around, was he? Was he, like, sitting on a chair and you were throwing to him?
He does a little of both. He does whatever he can, you know, whatever he can do. And he's, you know, I love being with Wes. I mean, Wes is an old throwback, you know. He's so mentally tough. Physically, he's tough. I mean, to play that position at his size, take the hits that he's taken. You know, and he's a great teammate. I mean, everyone who's played with him, I mean, he works harder than anybody on the team. So, you know, this, when you're faced with what he's been faced with this offseason, I mean, it's pretty much, that's how he's approached it. So it's really been fun for me to see him and the improvements that he makes on a daily basis when, you know, when pretty much I was going through the same thing that he was going through.
Right.
But, you know, he was, he's made me look like I was, you know, a year behind schedule. So he's worked really hard, and I'm, you know, it's great for me to see.
Do you think you'll be on the field with Wes Welker in this upcoming football season, Tom?
I hope so. The ACL surgery at this point, you know, it's like, you know, you can get pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had, you know, great surgery and great rehabilitation, and you know, he works his butt off. I mean, he really does. There's nobody that would ever work harder than Wes in rehabbing an injury. And, you know, because of that, I mean, that always gives you great confidence in anything that he's doing because he's prepared to put the work in, and that's what rehabilitation is all about. So, you know, I can't sit here and say, you know, this is what it's going to be, because nobody can do that. He doesn't know that. Nobody knows that. So, you know, obviously when you plan for the season, I mean, I think we plan for everything. I mean, we have some, you know, great depth at the receiver position now, and hopefully Wes is, you know, right in there as the leader of the pack.
Hey, Tom, you said to Peter King that one of the problems last season with this Patriots team was you didn't, some guys didn't listen to Coach Belichick, the best coach in football, and they have to start listening to him again. We were hoping you could be more specific. Were there just guys out there, teammates, who were ignoring your coach and trying to do it their way, and you think that's one of the reasons that it was not a typical Patriots season, that you didn't end up, you know, in the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I don't know if I put it exactly that way. I didn't think, you know, regardless of what I said, you know, I think the point is, you know, we do have the best coach probably in the history of the NFL. And, I mean, he's got the answers. And when he comes in and talks to us on a Monday morning, he says, this is what we need to do to win. And then he comes back the next Monday morning talking about the game, and he says, well, I gave you six things, and we did one of them, you know. Obviously, it's very frustrating for everybody. And it's, you know, me included. I mean, there's games where he says, listen, this is a turnover-driven team. We can't have turnovers because they're going to capitalize, and they've done that all season long. They're plus 12 in turnovers. You know, they scored this many points off of them. This is what we do. We're going to lose. And, of course, I go out there in the first drive and, you know, fumble the ball. So, you know, I always include myself when, you know, I'm at the top of the list, and I've got to have a great season in order for our team to be productive. And, along with everybody else. But, you know, the only person I can really control is myself. And, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about the way the season ended last year. And obviously, you know, the way that, you know, the goals that we set at the beginning of every season. So we've got a tough road ahead like we've always do. We've got 3 weeks of practice in June. We've got 6 weeks of practice in July and August to get to the point where we're ready to play in September. And we've added plenty of new people, new coaches, like we do every year. And, you know, everybody that needs to come together, I mean, it takes every single guy on the team. And you know, all of us, we need to do a better job of leadership. And believe me, I was one of the leaders last year, and obviously I sucked at doing that. So, you know, I've got to do a better job of that. I've got to do a better job of playing quarterback, and that's what I'm prepared to do.
Tom, was there a leadership void? I mean, you know, your role aside, obviously Brewski's gone, Rodney, Richard, Vrabel's gone. I guess that leaves you and Vince, and I'm not sure who else. Was there, did you sense, a leadership void in that locker room?
Well, you know, I'd say you can't have enough guys who are leaders. And leaders is, you know, there's obviously many ways to do that. There's Rodney Harrison types, there's Troy Brown types, you know, guys who just show up to work and put the work in every day. Larry Izzo, who, you know, he was a great leader for us. So you can never have enough of those guys that really are selfless guys. I was with Torrey Holt yesterday, and we were talking about some of the Ram teams that he played on. I said, you know, we just had a lot of great guys on the team. And my comment to him was, I said, well, to me, that's the only way, you know, because, you know, playing with a bunch of guys that you really don't enjoy spending time with, that doesn't last really long. And really, when it comes down to it, you know, games that we lose fourth quarter, games that we lose in the second half, or losing on the road like we did, I mean, that's like, I mean, that could be lack of trust, that could be lack of confidence. I mean, there's a lot of issues that, you know, you have when that repeats itself time and time again over the course of the season. And Coach always used the word mentally tough to us. And, you know, I always agreed with them. We, when the going got tough, we didn't get going. You know, we were, we weren't really a mentally tough team last year. And I think that's been a big point of emphasis for Coach this offseason. And, you know, hopefully we found ways to address it with each other, and also with, you know, Coach bringing in different players to, you know, see if they can, you know, bring a little bit of that to our team.
Tom, I don't think we've had a conversation over the years where at some point we didn't bring up the advent of the tight end in this system. And I think it's appropriate yet again since the Patriots drafted two, Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Have you sensed, have you heard, do you have any kind of inclination that maybe finally and at last there might be a slight philosophical shift offensively that to provide, for Tom Brady, Grogan's Russ Francis, Bledsoe's Ben Coates, Tom Brady's you fill in the blank. Any sense of that might be happening this time?
Well, I think we've had some great tight ends here, you know, since I've been here, winning the Super Bowl with, you know, even Jermaine Williams, who was a big part of the offense, I mean, there's not a better tight end, you know, that I've played with. I mean, and Ben Watson has had some really big years for us. So we've had some good players. I think, you know, Algie, throwing with Algie and watching him run and move it, he's been really impressive. And then to hear that he's a great guy on top of that, I mean, that gets me just as excited. And then, you know, the two tight ends, obviously, you know, rookies, it's hard to count on any rookie, to tell you the truth. I mean, I can think on maybe one hand over the years of playing that, you know, a rookie has made a huge impact on the team. I mean, Deion was our third receiver his rookie year, and he did a great job. But it's hard, you know, Gerard, he was a great rookie for us, but Richard, Logan. So it's hard to make an impact. You know, tight end position is an extremely difficult position on offense. Both physically and mentally, you're involved in the passing game, the running game, all the line calls, all the formation adjustments, the protection calls, the audibles. You know, you really, and then you physically, you have to be pulled up, you know, because you're playing on the line of scrimmage, you know. So I don't want to put too much on those guys, but I will say, you know, if I've heard they had a really great mini camps, and they're really excited about being here, you know. So that's definitely something that, you know, we could use more of, and guys who are productive that position, having a good tight end position creates a lot of mismatches for a defense because. If a safety chooses to cover a tight end and you have a really physical tight end, then, you know, you'll be able to complete the ball. If they put a linebacker and you have the athletic ability, the speed and the quickness, you know, you should get open on a linebacker pretty much every time if you're a good tight end, like Tony Gonzalez. So hopefully we can our offense can evolve to that a little bit and use the guys' skill set that we have. So, you know, we can create some mismatches.
Hey, we were all off season, Tom. We watched Anquan Boldin go to Baltimore, and then Brandon Marshall to Miami, and the Jets picking up everybody, Cromartie and others. We know you think and that you have the best coach in the division and the conference. There's no doubt about that. Do you still feel like you have the best players? Do you feel like you've lost a step in personnel when you watch from afar all these off season acquisition, all these moves that these other teams are making, all the improvements the Jets and Dolphins and Ravens are making?
Yeah, well, you know, I'd say I love our receiver position. I mean, with Randy and Wes and with Julian and David Patton and Brandon Tate, the way he's been working, I mean, he's had a great offseason thus far. We've got a lot of speed at the position right now. We've got a lot of kind of veteran guys that have played and know what it takes. In terms of running routes and getting open and catching the ball and being in the place where they need to be. So, you know, and with adding the tight end group and a veteran group of running backs, I mean, I love our offense. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm never a fan. I mean, coaches always, believe me, all these personnel moves that our teams are making, our coaches, you know, he's monitoring those as well. I mean, it's not like those just, you know, wow, I had no idea that would happen. I mean, when Santonio Holmes is getting ready to be traded, I'm sure there's a lot of people that know that. So, you know, these teams at Adam, I mean, good for them. They're obviously looking for something out of that position. And, you know, if we were really looking for something out of that position, we'd probably be in the middle of things too. So I think, obviously, our coach feels pretty comfortable with where things are at right now.
You spoke to Torrey Holt. Curious here. How much do you think he has left? Is he going to make a kind of a transition into a possession receiver and maybe play the role of Wes Welker, or is he still a deep threat? And how about David Patton? Are you looking what are you looking for out of David Patton at this point in his career?
Yeah, well, they're both outside guys. They really don't play where Wes plays. They've always been on the outside. So they both have very good speed. Both are really precise route runners. In our offense, especially at the position that they'll be playing, it requires more route running technique. And some guys, there's a lot of different styles that receivers have, from Randy to Wes to Troy to, Branch the way he was for us. So both guys, very smart players. They know how to set up their routes. I love having David back. I mean, he's been one of my favorite teammates with his work ethic. And, he's produced a lot in some really big games for us. So he was out last year with an injury that's healed at this point, and, he looks great running routes and so forth. And Torrey's been, it's been nice to see him around. And I always enjoy having veterans in there who are really mature and, who just kind of show up and they know what to do. So, hopefully they both add a lot to this offense. I mean, we can use, like I said, a lot of that veteran presence, that veteran leadership that they're going to bring.
Hey, Tom, this next one's a little awkward for me. I have a confession to make. On March 27th, Earth Hour, I did listen to you and turn out my lights for an hour, but I left my flat screen on and watched TV in the dark.
Yeah,
is that okay or is that wrong?
Earth. He doesn't care about the Earth like you and me, Tom.
I know. I know how you guys feel on this issue, so I guess you guys wouldn't be the people that we're talking to.
No. All right. Hey.
The things we do for love.
I appreciate doing that anyway. Thank you.
Yeah, I turned the lights off. I watched my TV with the lights off. That's sort of getting involved, right? Better than nothing.
It is.
Better than nothing.
Progress. Hey,
I know you're used to the suffocating paparazzi as best you can be and TMZ and all that sort of stuff. Does it bother you to see, as an example, aerial photographs of your new house complete with graphics that's this room and this is that room and that's that room over there? Does that wear on you?
I think it's kind of the way it is out in L.A.
Yeah.
That's what they do. I mean, I'd really been worried if they'd have got some of the stuff right, but they didn't. that's just the way it is. So it's just the way it is, guys. I've been dealing with it for a while now, and I'm probably much more comfortable dealing with it now than I've ever been. It's much less distracting for me, and it's just kind of what certainly my wife dealt with for longer than I have. But it's you just make your plans based around what you anticipate outside your house. So we don't go out very often anymore, and when we do, it's just kind of okay, is what we expect. And when there's four cars waiting outside your house, you got to get things done. You just do it. Hopefully, I used to be driving 70 miles an hour down Sunset trying to get away, but that's probably not the smartest thing to do. So now I say screw it. I'll deal with it. And hopefully, it's not too invasive.
Well, I thought it was very thoughtful of you, and I saw it said John's room. But I'd be just as happy staying in the guest quarters, Tom. That John, I can stay further down the hall.
Hey, you're always welcome, guys. You're always welcome.
Yeah, where's my room?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
We won't see you pull a Sean Penn and like slug one of these paparazzi guys. I mean, you're not at that point where you're ready to that breaking point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I got pretty pissed off a few weeks ago, so I'm glad there was no camera there at that point. But that's I got pretty frustrated at myself for getting angry. So, it's just one of those moments where I was probably stressed out about something else. But like I said, there was a camera. So
Beckham were at the UCLA football game with your kids?
No, I met him out here when he came out for a game when he first got here. So he's always kind of kept in touch. And then, his sons are really interested in football. And my son always says, Daddy, I want to go to a football game. So I work out at UCLA all the time and knew that they had a spring game. So I was going to take my son, and, his sons wanted to go. So we figured it may be a good opportunity. And we get there. So we get into the game, and my son the whole way, Daddy, we're going to a football game. we get there and we're on the field, and he looks at me and says, "Daddy, you want to go home?" And I said, "No, you want a peanut butter jelly sandwich?" "No, Daddy, I want to go home." And so he was there for about 5 minutes. And I said, "Oh, God." So I called my wife and I said, "Well, he's coming home," because I don't know if it was the crowds or he's still pretty young.
You know what that is, Tom? That's the L.A. version of what happens when he's back here in the winter and you take like a half an hour to get all the snow clothes on,
right, yeah.
And you get him outside and he says he wants to go back inside. That's the L.A. version of the same thing.
Yeah, I know. And if you didn't love him so much, I'd kill him, but, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I know you don't care what we think or what, the media thinks of the paparazzi. Do you worry about what your friends back home and, the kids you grew up with and high school friends, what they think when they see, the aerial photograph of your home or see you with Beckham at the game? Are you afraid that they will say, "He forgot where he came from"?
No, it's hard to worry about a lot of that. Jared, I think people who know me, they know, who I am and kind of what I'm all about. So especially my teammates and a lot of my friends from growing up, I'm still friends with. So I obviously don't have as much time as I used to, and I don't get home as much as I used to. But, my family, I really care about what they think because, those are the people that, know me better than anybody other than my wife. So I've been blessed with a lot of opportunities in my life. And for building a home for my family that, hopefully we're in for, a long time or, how exaggerated that story is, which it was quite exaggerated, but, it's just part of what, I wanted to do for myself and my family. So, and then hanging out with different people, I've had that opportunity for a long time. So yeah. I always just look at people as who they are and, David's a nice guy. So I don't get caught up in a lot of the other stuff.
How's
either.
Posh? Is she nice too? Posh?
I haven't met her on many occasions, but she's very nice.
Hey, Tom, I'd be hypocritical if I didn't ask you about something that we were critical of you about a month and a half ago. Why a pit bull?
Sure.
Why a pit bull with the family around?
Well, it was a rescue dog that we found, and I always kind of wanted a dog that was the kind of dog it is. It's a type of pit bull, and we had her trained for really intensive training for 3 months. There's not an aggressive bone in her body. If she would definitely lick somebody to death if someone ever came in the house. But she's, I've always been very conscious, and I really enjoy dogs. I had dogs growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say there's lots of different dogs. But to me, in all my research, it's more the owners, not the dogs, to tell you the truth, when there's issues with dogs. And, we have no problems with our dog. She is a great dog.
So you're not hoping
family dog
you're not hoping she eats the little Shih Tzu that you had in the basket that time or whatever that what was that
I'd
thing?
That, Vita, she owns our. Believe me, that little 4-pound dog owns our pit bull.
Really?
Owns her. So yeah, it's just there's no disputing who the little alpha female in the house is, and that's my wife's dog.
Hey, if you ever have a chance and you run into Bledsoe, ask him his dog story when he was at his camp. He tells it beautifully. He was standing out on the 50-yard line with the entire camp up in the stands, maybe, 1,000 kids, and he's talking to them about, what we're going to do this week and what we're going to accomplish and what you're going to learn. And he had his dog there with him, and he says everybody, as he's talking in the stands, is laughing their ass off. And he says, "I don't think I said anything funny." And he turned around, and his yellow lab was taking a huge dump right on the 50-yard line. So leave your two dogs at home when you do your camp, Tom.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll definitely do that. I won't be bringing them down to the stadium very much.
Hey, did you watch the Super Bowl like most people did in New England as a serious New Orleans fan, hoping Peyton Manning would go down in flames the way he did? Or do you feel for the guy? We know you have a good relationship. Did you feel bad for him that day?
To tell you the truth, I did. And I like Peyton a lot, I think he's a guy I've watched over the years and just always admired the way that he plays. And his style of play is very much my style of play, so I can understand what he's looking at and why he's doing the things he's doing. And he had an incredible year. Drew Brees had an incredible year. Drew had the best year of his career. And both guys, to me, were, neck and neck for the most valuable player in the league. So when they got to the Super Bowl, I did watch the game. I wanted to see those offenses play. And Drew, I mean, Drew had an incredible game. And then with the way it ended with Peyton, I mean, I don't know what happened between he and Reggie there at the end, but I couldn't imagine that, you know, Peyton thought he would stop running the route either. So, you know, Reggie's a great player, and obviously there's just a miscommunication between the two of them, which happens when you have little option routes like it looked like they had there. You know, sometimes one guy thinks one thing and right. you throw the other and vice versa. And when it works great, it looks beautiful. When it doesn't work well, you know, it's like everything, risk-reward in football. So, you know, I felt bad because I never like seeing that happen to a quarterback because I know how that feels, and you know, it feels pretty shit, especially to happen in the Super Bowl.
I knew we could count on you before we get into this thing. I knew we could count on you.
Yeah, Chops was like Ken Griffey. He was sleeping there, but I think you woke him up.
Hey, you have an event coming up June 5th that you've been a big part of over the years. This will be the 11th annual Audi Best Buddies Challenge, Hyannisport, June 5th, 2010, Boston to Hyannisport. Tell us about the event. Who does it help, and how can people get involved, Tom?
Yeah, it's a great cause. It's like I said, the 11th year here in Massachusetts, started by Anthony Shriver in his college dorm room, and it's really finding friendships and jobs and career opportunities for people with mental disabilities. And Anthony's really grown it. It's in, you know, over 50 countries in the world. There's a lot of participation here in Massachusetts just because of Anthony's roots here in the state. Mm-hmm. And I got involved, I think, in 2001. I rode on the actual bike ride. He always kind of looks for participation from a lot of athletes in the area, and I got involved, you know, before we won the Super Bowl. So it's just always been kind of, you know, something for me that, you know, I've always felt pretty good about. It's a great thing for the community. You know, in the state of Massachusetts, it's really run by people who are really enjoy what they're doing and are making a huge difference. And I love seeing the kids out there too, you know, participating. And it's a great cause. This year we're doing something a little bit different on Friday night. We're having a little football game over at Harvard Stadium. It's the only way I could ever get into Harvard was through a football game. But and then Saturday is the ride from down to Hyannisport where there's a clam bake. So I think you go to bestbuddies.org.
Right.
I think that's what you do to get involved. I have a lot of friends that have done it over the years and people that, you know, continue to support it. So a lot of teammates are going down. It's really a fun day.
So we want to make people aware there's a pre-event flag football game at Harvard Stadium on Friday. That would be, I guess, June 4th. And then on the 5th, people who want to get involved can ride either 100, 50, or a 20-mile bike ride through New England down to Hyannisport. Also, there's a 3K and a 5K walk, and Olympic gold medalist Carl Lewis is involved in that as well.
I know how you can train for the 5K, Tom. Where you park your car in that new house, you can run all the way to the kitchen. Isn't that about 5K?
I got no comment on that.
All right.
What's Carl Lewis going to do?
He's going to walk.
Oh, he's going to walk?
Yeah.
He should triple jump.
Carl's been involved for a long time, too, so he's been a great supporter also.
It's called bestbuddies.org. That's where you can find out all the information. Again, June 4th and 5th. Tom's involved in both events, the flag football game and the bike. Are you doing the 100, the 50, or the 20, Tom?
I was going to ride this year, so it's probably going to be the 50.
Excellent.
You're going to wear your helmet, right?
Put Vita in the front, just like I had her.
You got to wear your helmet. We don't need that another scandal, so make sure you wear your helmet and buckle up.
Yeah, Vita in the basket and a little bell, too. That'd be good.
And a bell. And I'll have pegs pegs on the back for anybody who wants to join in.
There you go.
Carry them along.
Hey, Tom, good talking to you. Appreciate the time this morning. Good luck on the event. We'll talk to you before that. We'll promo it again before it comes up again.
Thanks, guys. Take care.